Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Grab a podcast of this radio show on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Wherever you get a podcast, you can get it. You can get this radio show. John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News, does a terrific job on all things Pac-12. And he is popping on with me here to talk about it. He had a one-on-one with Michael Schill, the University of Oregon president, and the CEO of the Pac-12 leadership group. And Wilner's joining us now. First of all, Wilner, we have wildfires running wild in this state. What is the scene in California as it pertains to the fires?
We've got grayish red. Here in the San Jose, South Bay area, the sky is kind of a little, it's gray with a red tint, but I think up in San Francisco, it's just pretty reddish orange. It is, as I've seen a couple of places, it's like Tatooine on Star Wars.
Yes.
You know, that's the color of the sky and the tint of everything you see. It's crazy. I think some of our smoke is from Oregon that's been blown south, and then some of it is of our own making.
I look at, you know, kind of, there's a lot of people in Oregon who are being evacuated. There's tremendous property damage, 100,000 acres with one of the fires. And a lot of people, including myself right now, inside of we're in the ready stage of ready, set, go when it comes to evacuation. Does it feel that tenuous in California? Does it feel that dangerous, or is it just more about air quality and fires happening somewhere else in California?
Yeah, we were, the stage you're in now, the Bay Area was in 2 or 3 weeks ago, because there were three, we had that brutal heat wave where it was like, it was 130 in Death Valley, and it was like 110 in the Bay Area, and the lightning, it was the dry lightning, it started a whole bunch of fires in the Bay Area, Santa Cruz, east of Oakland. We were on the evacuation watch then, but since then we've had bad air, but the fires themselves are no longer threats to, you know, the main civilian area, the Bay Area.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group with us, San Jose Mercury News. You had a chance to...
Hey, if Oregon and Ohio State were playing on Saturday, could they play?
I'm doubtful. You know, with the air quality the way it is, it's especially in the Eugene Springfield area. I haven't been to Eugene, but we've been talking to people throughout the show today. Judah, do you have a sense on that air quality in Eugene? Could they play if this game was on a weekend?
So I really don't think they could. I mean, last year they had to move practice out to the coast, right? During the, when they were getting ready, or was that 2017 actually, when they were getting ready for Southern Utah and games like that. So I really don't think that that was Nebraska week 2017 where they'd move out to the coast and get that game played. But I really don't think, I think it's worse, the air quality now, than it was even then. I don't think Ohio State, Oregon would be able to be played this weekend.
A little bit of breaking news, Clackamas County Sheriff's Department saying that they've gone to level 3 evacuation for the city of Estacada. So if you're listening to this show and you're in the city limits of Estacada, deputies are going door to door there now. Level 3 means go. It means you need to leave. Danger is imminent. So if you're in Estacada, get out and get somewhere safe. John Wilner is with us, Bay Area News Group. Wilner, you had a chance to talk with Michael Schill, the University of Oregon president. You did a Q&A with him. Break down sort of how that goes, that process, as you're getting in touch with the chair of the CEO group.
Well, I originally reached out to Oregon to their communications folks in the middle of July. Schill took over as chair of the board July 1st. It's a two-year term. He replaced Colorado's Phil DeStefano, who did a really good job. And so I reached out to Oregon in the middle of July. And at that point, the conference was coming up on, you know, a couple of key points with the decision on the schedule and then the decision on whether we're going to play. And so Oregon was like, you know what, let's just hold off. He's really busy, a lot going on. And so then I reached out to them, you know, about 10 days ago and asked what, you know, for an update. And they said, he's trying to get campus ready to go. How about if we do a Q&A, email us some questions, and he'd be happy to answer via email, but that way he could kind of do it on his own time when he's got a free minute or two. So I sent him six questions or so, and it, you know, within 48 hours, I got a response, and he was super, thoughtful and thorough with his answers. And, you know, it was pretty insightful. I didn't expect that he was going to, you know, answer directly a few of the questions, but he was very candid, as candid as I would have hoped for.
You know, and I find him to be, I think he's smart. I think he's engaged. I think he's clear in his responses. I think he knows what he wants to say, and he knows how to say it, which isn't true of all people in leadership positions. But what was your biggest takeaway? If you're leading, what's the headline of this Q&A?
Let's see. No, I totally agree with you about the clarity and you know, the ability for the people in charge and making decisions in Pac-12 to message and communicate properly is just vital. We're seeing that not happen in the Big Ten, and I think that's a real contrast. The Pac-12, something Pac-12 has done very well, and Schill's kind of been out in front on that. You know, to me, the big takeaway was the way he is viewing the future of the conference. You know, I did ask him about Larry Scott's contract, and he said the CEOs have not talked to Scott about it. He didn't really want to go there again. But he's thinking out loud about whether the conference should consider changing its shape and maybe expanding. I didn't get the sense that is necessarily the thinking the collective has, but he clearly is thinking big and has got everything on the table as he looks to kind of the next chapter in the conference's existence, which is going to happen in, you know, 2024 when they redo their media deal. That's the point, if they are going to expand or do some kind of alliance with another conference. They got to do it then. And so he's obviously got his eyes and ears wide open for all options.
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group. You talked about the vision for the Pac-12 in the next 5 or 10 years. Is there a post-pandemic model here that you think, based on that conversation, includes additional universities maybe coming into the Pac-12, or is he just spitballing?
I think part of it is him spitballing, and it's good. They need to spitball. They got to think. They got to consider everything. You know, the known unknowns and the unknown unknowns, so to speak. But I do think that the essential question for them, and I know you've touched on this in the past, is what do they want to be? Right? Because right now there are two things: they're a college conference in the traditional sense, but they're also a media company, and you can certainly make the case that they haven't done either of those things really well. So my first question to him is, what does he see as the future? And, you know, he didn't get specific on whether he thinks it should be a conference in the traditional sense or a media company. But they're obviously thinking about that question. What do they want to be? And that's going to have an impact on whether I think Larry Scott ends up getting a contract extension or not.
Wilner, in the course of your Q&A, you ask him, how would you describe your management style and who or what has had the greatest influence on your approach to matters like organizational structure and consensus building? And he corrects you. Why did he correct you? Why do you think he felt it was important to make sure that everybody knows it's not him making decisions?
Yeah, I like the fact that he was willing to correct me. I thought that was great. And not that I actually said anything that was factually incorrect. He just wants to make it clear that it's not his management of the conference. He is more of, you know, the facilitator of, you know, the group discussions, and is working to build consensus and making sure all the, you know, all the issues are clear for everyone, right? He's working with the other 11 presidents and chancellors, and together they're going to come to agreement. He's kind of saying he's more the quarterback than the coach. And I totally get that. But I do think that at some level, you know, there's an executive committee in addition to the 12 presidents and chancellors. He and Kirk Schultz from Washington State and Anna Marie Causey from Washington are the executive committee. They kind of they really set the direction that the group goes. And so it's not, I don't know that it's completely accurate to say that Schill is just 1 of 12. I don't really, he can say that. He's got to say it. He wants his peers to see him saying it. But I also think it's not quite that simple.
I think it's a great point. John Wilner, Bay Area News Group. You ask him about the Pac-12's intention to create a loan program that would allow the universities to borrow money at their discretion to kind of help fill the hole in their athletic department budget. What was his response there?
Well, you know, they're thinking about it, but they have not reached a decision. And that makes sense, because if they can put a football season together, whether it starts in mid-late November and runs through January, or whether it starts in January and runs into early March, they can put a season together and recoup some of that TV money and maybe even postseason money. Then there's probably not going to be a reason for a loan program. And at this point, based on the testing development last week, it certainly seems like they will be able to play at some point. So they're kind of holding off on, you know, officially committing, I think, to that loan program by which the schools could take whatever they needed out to kind of bridge the gap for these next 9 months. They may not need it after all.
John, you know, I keep thinking about the Pac-12 network amid all of this. I would have given up on it a long time ago. I would have outsourced to a real media company and focused on what I do well. It's what I try to do in my own life. Focus on what I'm good at and what I'm, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. Did you get the sense from Michael Schill that the Pac-12 is at a crossroads with the network? If so, what direction should they go?
I think nobody knows what to do with the network, to be honest with you. He was a little bit vague, which is what you would expect. They have a couple of years before they've got to make a decision. They like the fact, that the network is, you know, provides content, especially Olympic sports content, for them to show. But it is the, you know, $500 million question. I don't know exactly what the thing is worth these days, but certainly that is a big part of their future, deciding what they want to do with it. And it depends on what the offer they get, right? It's not just we're going to do A or we're going to do B. If there's no good offer for option A, you can't do option A. And I don't know what entity out there is going to be willing to pay them what they're going to want for the network. And that could leave them with some very, you know, some options that they don't really want to pursue, and they have no choice, right? They could shut the whole thing down in a few years. They could just sell it at a discount to someone. They could try to roll it into a larger umbrella, like give it to ESPN for to be ESPN Plus content. I don't know what they're going to do. But they don't either, and part of what they're discussing is hiring an advisor to help them figure out a plan.
Wilner, yesterday Dr. Doug Aukerman joined me on this show. He said equipment in place by the end of the month. We talked about protocols and how long it would take maybe to get all that in place. It sounds to me, in talking to a couple of Pac-12 coaches, that They're already talking about those protocols. Mario Cristobal last night clarified to me that he only needs about 4 to 5 weeks of practice before he says they would be game ready. If you combine all those things together, a November kickoff is not out of the question for this conference. That said, they've been conservative. What do you expect to happen here in the next few months?
Great question. I listened to your interview with Ackerman. I thought he was good. You know, he was clear. He's kind of like when you had Schill on the day after the vote. You know, they both did a good job of kind of outlining the issues and being fairly candid on it. My guess is that they could be ready to play. The football teams themselves could be ready to play, you know, by the middle of November. But the big stumbling block is going to be the local restrictions in California and whether the four schools can get on the field in time to, you know, to have a month or 5 weeks of real practice. And right now, where I live, Santa Clara County, a nail salon can be open, but Stanford cannot hike the ball from the center of the quarterback. So we'll see what happens in California, and, you know, it is possible that the conference will face a decision where do we play with 8 teams starting in the middle of November, or do we play with 12 starting in January? And that's not a decision they want to have to make. They want everybody to be moving along in November, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, at Wilner Hotline on Twitter. Make sure you follow him. Thanks for giving us your time, Wilner. I appreciate you.
Stay safe up there.
John Wilner, and for those of you out there who already follow Wilner, you know, on the Pac-12, there's nobody better. I want you to stay safe. As I mentioned during the interview, we were talking about Ohio State. We were talking about whether or not there could be a football game played in Eugene. I appreciate all my friends and listeners in Eugene who are checking in. The air quality currently in Eugene is 200 points above the highest reading on the map. It's above 700. The highest reading is 500 on the scale. Matt Prehm of 24/7 Sports texted me that. Cadillac Chris Brown checked in as well. He said the air quality in Eugene is awful. No chance of football in the current conditions. He said there's ash in the air. He said basically it's essentially like being a few feet downwind during a campfire. By the way, East Springfield now at level 1, meaning in the ready, set, go phase of evacuation. You should be ready. Residents should be aware of the danger that exists in the area and monitor emergency services websites for information. That is in Lane County, Oregon as well. So those of you east in East Springfield, you're now at level 1. We'll continue to monitor this, and we'll talk some sports in and around it. Leave it here. Take advantage of low interest rates. Go to goldenoaklending.com. You can refinance your loan. You can take that free mortgage checkup inside of their secure portal that'll let you know if they can do better for you with your home mortgage. Shorten the term of your loan. Take some cash out. Also, when you refi with Golden Oak Lending, you miss a couple of mortgage payments. That's relief in itself. GoldenOakLending.com to find out more. Interest rates are at historic lows. Talked to a friend yesterday who said she wanted to refi her house. Take advantage of that at Golden Oak Lending. All right. Dan Dickow and I had a conversation. You'll hear part of that in the 2 o'clock hour. Anna will be popping in. The 2 at 2 and much more. I want you to leave it right here, and I want you to be safe. You're listening statewide.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.